bring greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. And want to welcome each one to our service this morning. Glad to have our visitors here, Nelson, and your name just slipped me, but you're welcome too. We want to welcome our visitors and our home folks here. If you care to turn to 2 Samuel 22, and I'd like to read a couple verses as a testimony of my testimony this week. Second Samuel 22, verse 2. And he, David, said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. My cry did enter into his ears." Especially I'd like to give verse 7 as a testimony of my life this week. I had a happening this week that shook me to my core. And I wish I could say that I was happy with what I saw. I don't know how many of you heard the story of what happened Thursday night at our home. My wife had eaten some meat, and she's highly allergic to beef and pork, seemingly red meat. And we knew that, but she ate some meat that she thought was okay and had a tremendous reaction. Thursday night about 11:30, she started getting sick. I didn't know it. I was sleeping. And then about 12:30, something woke me up. It almost sounded like something fell, but I don't know was that what happened. But I looked up, or I sat up in bed and looked over in the bathroom, and there the light was on, and she was laying on the floor. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. I know some of you have. But it's hard to imagine the thoughts that race through your mind. Yeah. And looking back, I don't remember any of the thoughts that raced through my mind. I know they did. I don't know what they were. I didn't know what I was going to find. And I know there's some people here that have lost loved ones. And they came up to the loved one. She was laying there or sitting there, however it was, and life had fled. Changing life forever. Our lives forever. Apparently, she had fainted, but she had regained consciousness, and had a lot of pain in her stomach, and just started getting hives, half dazed, kind of. Half with it, I guess. And I asked her if she's okay, and she said, well, she thinks so. And this went on for an hour and a half. And I tried to help her get up, and at times when she got up, she had to sit down because she felt like she's passing out again. And one time she just laid flat on the floor, and her eyes were open. They were unfocused. They were unseeing. They didn't blink. They didn't move. And friends, I thought she had died right there. I didn't hear her breathing. And I started slapping her. Wake up! Wake up! She was unresponsive. Now, I don't know what you think of when you look into eyes that don't respond. But I'm telling you, it's a horrible feeling. A feeling of desperation and helplessness floods your heart. And I know some of you have experienced it, that these eyes never saw again. God give you grace. During this time, I was praying audibly that God would have mercy on us and spare her life to heal her. And this is what I'm ashamed to say, that the Holy Spirit, I think, twice told me, commit her to God. Twice. And I hesitated. I just about couldn't bring myself to say, Lord, here she is. It's yours. Shame on me for my lack of faith. The question is, why did I hesitate? And I honestly cannot tell you exactly why. But as I was looking, kind of thinking over I came to the realization that I was afraid if I commit her to God, He's going to take her. She's going to die. And yet I know that God can take better care of her. Excuse me. Can take better care of our loved ones than any doctor, nurse, medic, or anything anybody else can, any person. Why do we hesitate? You know, I'm not proud of my response that night. And I wonder, how can God have patience with me? Brought face to face with this prayer of dedication, this prayer of commitment, and I hesitate. How can God be patient with me? All these years, my testimony is that I trust God. All these years I have been trying to teach you to trust God. When the time comes, I back away. I am not proud of that response at all, and I'm sorry for that. It is my desire to fully trust God. But you know the blessing, you know, we heard of the miracle of the hostages being not released, but being delivered. I don't know how many of you read that email or that, not sure how it came around, that message that came around and saying that they walked through locked doors. Almost like Peter in Acts. You know, it almost makes shivers go through your life, because walking through locked doors, really? But you know, as I look at that Thursday night, after I chose to believe God, and I know that the reason I hesitated was just simply my feelings. I knew better. And I trust we all do. That we, if we stop and analyze, that we still choose to follow Christ and have faith in Him. But at times our feelings can get very much in our way and sidetrack us. But after I prayed that, Lord, she's yours, you know, it wasn't long till she started feeling better. And it wasn't long till she said she thinks she's able to go to bed. How do we respond? How do you respond when you are faced with a life-changing situation, a life-changing happening? You know, until we get there, we're really not sure how we're going to respond. It seems like it. I'd like to read Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in Thee. You know, we hesitate because we fear that God's good thing is not going to be our good thing. We fear because we may feel like God is going to require something of us that we're not willing to pay. We're not willing to go through. But the Bible says, no good thing will the Lord withhold from him that love him and walk uprightly. God is good. It's those times when God's good thing and our good thing don't really jibe that creates problems for us. But you know, at that time, that's when we need to trust God and not our own feelings. And it's the thing that we normally get turned around and we trust our feelings and not God. But we need to choose. We need to have it firmly rooted in our minds that God is good and that he will never give us anything that is evil. He will not. The Bible says he cannot because he's not evil. It's just that when we feel like the things that happen to us is evil, well, not evil, but it's not what we would choose. And it's causing great sorrow in our heart. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. And that to me was such a blessing. I didn't think of that verse that night, but I should have. I could have. If we could grab a hold of some of these verses and make it a part of our life, when we face these things, there are times, you know, those are the times that those verses, the Holy Spirit can bring those verses back to us as in comfort. You know, our feelings at times will not be on board and will of to the will of God and will almost flood out our faith and trust. We do need to recognize that feelings are God-given, but they need to be brought under the subjection of Jesus Christ. If there's two things that I would like to encourage us in is to trust God, and then later I'd like to encourage us to not only love our loved ones, but to communicate our love to them. And that's what really stood out to me during this past week was, do we trust God? And is God trustworthy? Absolutely, God is trustworthy. Can we trust God? Yes, we can trust God. Do we? We should. Matthew 6, 25-33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're going to have to turn to that. Matthew 6. I'd like to read those verses. And let the word of Christ sink into our heart. Matthew 6, verse 25. Why don't we stand for the reading of the word? Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things, all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You may be seated. God has promised us through the Jesus Christ's words here, God, Christ, the one and same, has said that he will take care of his children. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the fowl. He takes care of the grass, the insignificant grass. And he shall take care of you much more than these. If he can take care of these birds and animals and grass, he will take care of us. He is able. As long as there's life, normal humanity wants to live. Again, that is a God-given instinct within man that we want to live. And we want our loved ones to live. But may we realize that our life is in the hand of God. And that, you know, I don't know how to say this, but I have a neighbor that some of you know him. He's been at death's door for years. He doesn't want to die. Honestly question whether he's ready to die, whether he would even understand. I have talked to him numerous times about his need for salvation, and he says yes, he understands it, but that's about as far as it goes. But he is absolutely afraid to die, and he's doing everything he can to keep from dying. Now we are living today to meet Christ. Is that true? We want to meet Christ someday. And I know that we use medical, and I'm just talking here. I don't know why I'm even on this subject. But we want to use the medical help as much as, you know, as we can. But let's not go so far that we will do, I'm not sure if I can say all this right. In other words, when it's our time to die, let's accept it, is what I'm trying to say. We can prolong our life. We can prolong our loved ones' lives by putting them on the breathing machine. And I don't think it's wrong to use that to help a person get over his sickness. But if it's just to keep him alive, I question whether it's right. If it's just to keep him alive. I think sometimes we make bad choices because we lack in faith. Our faith in God lacks. My encouragement this morning is, may we trust God. He is well able to take care of his children. Psalm 103 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from him." Now, the next verse is what I'd like to for you to make it a part of your life, to grasp hold of. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust." Verse 17, "The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, if I would summarize my experience or our experience, I would hope that I have learned this lesson, that God is completely, completely trustworthy, even when things don't turn out the way we think they should or that we would want. And the other thing is that when in trouble, turn to God first. Turn in faith. God is glorified when we choose to give him first place in our life. The second lesson that I would like to learn from this experience is express appreciation to your spouse or loved one and or children before they are laying on the floor incapacitated. Now again, I don't know what you're facing, but I would say that if you want a blessed marriage or a blessed relationship with your children, express gratitude to them for what they do. And express your love to them. Not just expect them to have to know it, but express it. Say it. "I love you, and I appreciate what you do for me. Thank you for washing my clothes. Thank you for cooking my meals. Thank you for cleaning my house. Thank you for changing the bed, fixing the bed. Thank you." And I would guarantee almost that if we do these things, it will create a love and appreciation that your spouse, your wife, will want to do more. Wonderful things of folks are said when they are passed away. Roses adorn their narrow bed over the sleeping clay. The chorus is, "Give me the roses while I live," trying to cheer me on. "Useless are the flowers you give after the soul is gone. Let us not wait to do good deeds till they have passed away. Now is the time to sow good seeds while here on earth we stay. Kind words are useless when folks die, lie cold in a narrow bed. Don't wait till death to speak kind words. Now should the words be said. Give me the roses while I live. Don't wait till I die to spread the roses over my grave to see as you pass by. Give them the roses while they live rather than wait till after they're gone. Then telling everyone how much you appreciated them and how much they meant to you. Give them the roses now." That is a lesson that I hope I have learned. Now, another poem that a brother shared on the men's chat here a while ago. It says, "Tell her so. Amid the cares of married life, in spite of toil and business strife, if you value your sweet wife, tell her so. There was a time you thought it bliss to get the favor of a kiss. A dozen now won't come amiss. Tell her so. Don't act if she passed her prime, as though to please her were a crime. If ever you loved her, now's the time to tell her so. You are hers and hers alone. Well, you know she's all your own. Don't wait to carve it on the stone. Tell her so. Never let her heart grow cold. Richer beauties will unfold. She is worth her weight in gold. Tell her so. May we appreciate our wives. May you appreciate your husband and your children. And if you don't have a wife, a husband, or children, appreciate your brothers, your sisters, your family, your parents, you get the idea? Don't wait to tell your loved ones that you love them until they're dead. They don't hear it. Let's kneel in prayer.